looking forward to now getting into this, our study. And as we start a new year, it's a good time to reflect on our lives, where we've been, where we're going, what our life is about. You know, we always talk about New Year's resolutions, but it's a good time to reflect on, is our life being about what we want it to be? It's so easy just to get going with the demands of everything, and then suddenly we think, oh, but last year that wasn't quite what I had entirely wanted it to be about. So we reflect and intentionalize it, because otherwise it won't happen. I told the story maybe in here before about when my sister and her husband and I went to an Air Force Navy game at the Air Force Academy once, and it was the first Air Force game we'd attended. And we were so excited for the Air Force Navy game and all the crowds and the excitement there in the parking lot, and we were moving with everybody up to the gate, and we're climbing the stairs, and we get to this gate, and they go to take our ticket, and we realize, oh, this isn't where we wanted to be. We needed to be at a different gate. And we weren't paying attention. And so we had to go kind of against the crowd and go down and over to where we needed to be. And I thought, how that can happen in life. It's easy just to move with the crowd and not realize, is this what I'm really wanting, where I want to be? So it's neat to see. I know you are intentionalizing. That's why you are here. And it's a good time to reflect on this. As we start a new year and as we do this study, running the race marked out for you. It's individual. God has a plan. He loves you. He created you. He has purposes for you. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. There's a plan. And we saw this fall that Christ is returning. He's coming back. There's a plan. There's an overall plan for all of time, for life itself, for history. God is the author of that plan. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator, the one who wrote the story. And he's in control, and it will happen exactly as he intended. And we've been fortunate enough to be given a role in his story. And how important it is to find out what part we've been assigned. It's easy, you know, just to kind of say, well, you know, I think I'm going to have my life be about this. This looks good. But what if for a play, we've all seen plays. We saw Phantom of the Opera in Denver a few years ago, which was wonderful. We've all either seen high school plays or read plays. At Christmas, our granddaughter, Kellen, wrote a play, and it's actually a musical she wrote. And it was very fun. And so after dinner, between dinner and dessert, the grandkids put on this play. But she had, you know, the scripts done for her brother Riley and her cousin Lexi. And so they were busy beforehand, assigned by Kellen to learn their parts. So they were off in corners, you know, going over this and learning it. And then it came time for the performance, and they actually did a good job. It was very cute. I thought about bringing pictures, but I decided no. But it was very fun. But what if Riley and Lexi said, I think it'll be good if I do it my way. Or I'd like to go with the story this way. And then it would just kind of be chaotic, and it wouldn't be what the author wanted. And this is often what we do with life. There's a story. And we've been given a part, and everybody kind of hits the ground running, and they think, well, I think I'm going to play my part this way. I think it's good. This is a good idea. Let's do this. But how important to sit at the author's feet and to say, what do you have, Lord? You wrote the script. You have it all prepared. I've been assigned a part. Show me. Lead me. And he wants to. That's the exciting thing. He wants us to know. He's gifted us accordingly. We're going to explore all this in this study. The gifts he's given us, the plans he's made for each season of life. He has a plan and a purpose. Our life has meaning. It's not ours to come up with. It's his heart to lead us in it. And he promises that he will do it. He will bear the fruit. He will fulfill his purposes as we do what he asks. We don't carry the load of that. It's very freeing. So we run freely. You know, I just went through my mind, you know, Chariots of Fire and Eric Little. You know, the runner, you know, and he's gifted for that. And his sister was talking with him about maybe doing something else. And he says, but I feel God's pleasure when I run. And when we're in sync, running with him, we feel his pleasure. We know the freedom. We have joy in him. It's exciting. As he created each of us, he created us with the purposes he had in mind. So that's why it feels good when we're doing what he calls us to do and fulfilling. We become who he created us to be. So we have an exciting time ahead of us exploring this in depth for each season. But maybe we think, well, maybe I have been writing my own story. At times, maybe I have gotten sidetracked and I've thought, well, this would be good. I think I'll write it this way and run with that for a while. Well, we see he's a God of grace. And he keeps calling us back to himself. And in love and mercy, he hands us the baton again when we say, okay, yeah, I see I got sidetracked there. And he holds us and dusts us off if we've fallen and hands us the baton and puts us back on track. He desires this for us and to know him in it. The story is also portrayed many times in Scripture as a race. And our key passage for this study is Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And the author starts out by saying, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, these are those he just finished talking about in Hebrews 11, and last year we did the great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us. He says, they're around us, praying for us, cheering for us, rooting for us. He says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Run with perseverance the race marked out for you. It's worth it. Paul looked at his life as a race. In Acts 20, 24, he said, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task assigned to me. That's what Paul's life was about. Excuse me. And at the end of his life in 2 Timothy, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have run I've run the race. I have kept the faith. He ran well. And he had joy in that. And we will too. as we run that race. Now, when Paul lived, the Olympics were going on, and he traveled in Greece. He wrote Romans from Corinth, which was right by Athens, where the Olympics were held. The Olympics were actually started in 1500 B.C. It's a long time. And here we have the Olympic Training Center right here in Colorado Springs. But when Paul lived in around A.D. 50, the Olympics were taking place. And so the race was before him. When the Olympics first started, that was the only event in the Olympics where it was the race. And then it expanded to some more things. But so we can imagine all, you know, we know everything that's on TV for us now when it's time for the Olympics and we're there and we get into it, and it's exciting. And so I'm sure that being there at the time, you would get all charged up. And so he applied the race to the Christian life. And we know they were, these athletes were going for the gold. I have this T-shirt from the Olympics. You know, go for the gold. The athletes, that's what they train for. That's what they're motivated for. That's what they're disciplined. Their life is about getting that gold medal. And it's exciting for us in our race. Jesus is our gold. He's the treasure. We run for him. We pursue more of him. It's what this conference is about in March. Pursuing more of him. That's what it's about. Knowing him better. Running closely with him. That's why Paul, then in Philippians 3:12-14, says, I press on toward all that God called me toward in Christ Jesus. That's what his life was about, his motivating drive. I press on toward the goal of all that God has called me to in Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. And this all that he has involves, yes, our doing and the plans that he has, but also our being. He desires to work in us. His character, his nature, his very self, his life poured into us, drawing us closer to him. He is the gold, and he's worth it. It's exciting. So we see that also it's the doing, the being, and the receiving of him, the knowing of him, that we run for. And we will consider all aspects of this. And the key to this, as we see, is keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. The athletes, when they run, they keep in mind their goal of that gold medal. When we run, and with our goal is Jesus, we keep our eyes fixed on him. He is our desire. He's our beloved. He's our God, the living God, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one who this is all about. We keep our eyes on him, and it keeps us motivated and running strong and with direction and purpose. It helps us stay focused. And sometimes it's tempting to get sidetracked. We look, we take our eyes off of him, and we start looking at the stands and all those cheering for us. And how am I doing? You know, and do you approve? You know, what do you think? And that can be a little trap and can sidetrack us and bog us down and get us distracted. And Gail MacDonald, the wife of Gordon MacDonald, she wrote this book, High Call, High Privilege. And she talks in there about the importance of playing to an audience of one. And she says, serving people in the name of Jesus is a joy. But worrying about who I am pleasing can be a curse. At this time in her life, it was time for me to be sure that I knew the difference. And during this transition time, a string of words entered my life and brought a new focus to my spiritual perspective. Live as if you are playing to an audience of one. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. I'd often heard Gordon talk about athletes who wisely ignore the crowd and play it to the coach. In my case, the coach was Jesus. The most important audience in the scope of my personal reality is Jesus. He is my audience of one. I've met more than a few women who are living for multiple audiences, striving frantically to hear the applause of each one of them. And there were times when I had done the same thing. Someone once said, at 20, we worry about what everyone thinks of us. At 40, we don't care what anyone thinks of us. And at 60, we realize no one was even thinking about us. And she says, to some extent, I was still in the first of the three phases. You know, caring what everyone thinks of us. And she says, the judgment of others had been too important to me. I had something to repent of, mixed motives. I longed to help bring others near to Christ, but also needed to please them. It was an inner battle because of my personality. But I returned to Paul's focus in 2 Corinthians 5:9. We make it our goal to please him. Single-focused. It's freeing. I've struggled with that. Imagine maybe we all have to some degree, but I always, you know, kind of care too much what people think and wondering what they thought of how I was doing. And it was a real trap, you know, and it kept me not focused. And actually, the word in Greek for meek, when Jesus says, the blessed are those who are meek, it's really like, it means the same word for a trained wild stallion that has all that energy and is going in many directions. And they're tamed, and all that energy is channeled and directed under the reins of one. And so then it's directed, and that's what he desires to do with our life. And he's done a work in me, and it continues to. You know, it continually will every once in a while raise its ugly head. And you think, no, keep my eyes on Jesus. That's all that matters. Run for his pleasure, you know, and freely keeping my eyes on him. And I've seen a difference in me as I do that, that it is freeing. And we're told that's the way Jesus ran. And Paul Stanley writes, he says, Jesus ordered his life not to please himself or others, but, quote, him who sent me. Jesus lived life out to a one-man audience, his Father. That's what we're to do. And it keeps us focused and purposeful and motivated and running to our fullness, and also gives us strength then to say no to the temptations to get off on other tracks. There are many races before us. And Tricia here next week will talk with us about that, I think. Is there, yes? Okay. Because it's easy. There are many appealing races out there to get into and to play to many multiple audiences and run many races. And it's attractive, and that gets us off focus. And then we end up at the wrong gate, like at the Air Force Academy. It's not what I wanted. Paul writes in Galatians 5, verse 7, to the Galatians, he says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you? They'd gotten off track. Who cut in on you? So as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that helps keep us directed and motivated and things in perspective. And there are many good things out there, and there's nothing wrong with having these things unless that's what our life's about, unless that becomes our goal. Possessions, position, power can be snares to trip us up. So we say, what's your life about? Where is your heart? That's the issue. And Jesus, in Luke 12, was telling them, he says, don't worry about your life. Yes, many times he blesses and gives things, but he says, I will take care of you. But he says all these things. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I'll take care of you. He says, your Father knows you need them. But he says, don't run after these other things. He's in Luke 12 there, he says, the world runs after these things. Not so with us. We can enjoy them, but not run after them. Not go for the gold, you know, in the tangible material way. When he is the true gold. When he is what life is about. So in 2 Corinthians 4:18, he exhorts us, Paul does, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. That's what's going to last. All this other is going to be burned up. It's going to fade away. It doesn't last. All the things that my father grasped of the material things and what his life had been about. In the end, he left gripping his watch. But he didn't take any of it with him. What matters? Is that what our life's about? At the beginning of this new year, we have a perfect chance to evaluate and reflect on it and get before the Lord to say, what do you have for my life, Lord? You're the author. Let me get in step with you. This movie Cars, did any of you, how many in here saw it? Every grandma, I'm sure. And you young gals, young moms back there, you know, you all saw it, yeah. It's one of my favorite movies. I've seen it like 5 times. And I'd like to show a little clip from it this morning. And it's about this car, Lightning McQueen, who was this race car. It's amazing how Disney, you know, and they can give the personalities to these objects. And so Lightning McQueen was a race car, and his life was about winning the Piston Cup, the biggest thing. And he just cared about himself and winning the Piston Cup. And he didn't care about anybody else, and he was good, and he was in line to win that. And, well, then through a variety of circumstances, he ended up in this little desert town called Radiator Springs. And it changed his life. And we're going to show just a little clip of this when he met the Hudson Hornet. And discovered who the Hudson Hornet really was. Okay, Jackie, do we have that little clip? It'll start with a little intro first, so kind of hang in there.
Will you turn that disrespectful junk off?
Respect the classics, man. It's Hendrix.
Ah! get out of here. Hey, have you seen the sheriff? Oh my gosh.
Hey, what are you doing?
Get a good peek, city boy?
I just need my daily gas ration from the sheriff.
Well, wait for him at Flo's. Now get out of here.
I've been trying to get out of here for 3 days.
Hope you enjoyed the show.
Oh, Doc. Time to clean out the garage, buddy. Come on.
Sign says stay up.
You have 3 piston cups. How could you?
I knew you couldn't drive. I didn't know you couldn't read.
You're the Hudson Hornet.
Wait over at Flo's, like I told you.
Of course. I can't believe I didn't see it before. You're the fabulous Hudson Hornet. You still hold the record for most wins in a single season. Oh, we gotta talk. You gotta show me your tricks, please.
I already tried that.
I mean, you won the championship 3 times. Look at those trophies.
You look. All I see is a bunch of empty cups.
This is all I see are a bunch of empty cups. Gathering dust in an old garage. It again brings perspective. What's our life about? We fix our eyes on what is seen or unseen, temporary or eternal. And yes, it involves a lot of other things that he leads us in and enables us in and guides us. But in it all, it has eternal value, things that will last. And that further the kingdom, the thing that this life is really about. One day we see Jesus is returning, and every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We've been privileged to be given a part in the story he's written. We say, yes, Lord. We're going to pick up that baton and run with his purposes, the race he's marked out for us of eternal value. So Rick Warren wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, bestseller, and he was interviewed here not long ago, and I have a copy and I can read some excerpts from that interview. People ask me, what is the purpose of life? And I respond in a nutshell, life is preparation for eternity. We were not made to last forever, and God wants us to be with him in heaven. One day my heart is going to stop, and that will be the end of my body, but not the end of me. We were made by God for God. And until you figure that out, life isn't going to make sense. He says, life is just a series of problems. The reason is that God is more interested in your character than your comfort. God is more interested in making you holy than making you happy. We can be reasonably happy here, but that's not the goal of life. The goal is to grow in character, in Christ-likeness. This past year, Rick Warren says, has been the greatest year of my life, but also the toughest. His wife, Kay, got cancer. And he used to think of life as hills and valleys and sequence of events like that. But now he says he looks at it as like railroad tracks that run parallel, that we have both going on at the same time. Good and bad. And they discovered quickly that in spite of prayers of hundreds of thousands of people, God was not going to heal K Kay, his wife, or make it easy for her. It has been very difficult for her, and yet God has strengthened her character, given her a ministry of helping other people, given her a testimony, drawn her closer to him and to people. And you have to learn to deal with both the good and the bad in life. Actually, he says sometimes learning to deal with the good is harder. For instance, this past year, all of a sudden, when the book sold 15 million copies, it made me instantly very wealthy. Also brought a lot of notoriety that I'd never had to deal with before. I don't think God gives you money or notoriety for your own ego or for you to live a life of ease. So I began to ask God what he wanted me to do with this money, notoriety, and influence. And God has led him very specifically, and it's brought him joy and helping people. And he says, we need to ask ourselves, am I going to live for possessions, popularity? Am I going to be driven by pressures, guilt, bitterness, materialism? Or am I going to be driven by God's purposes for my life? When I get up in the morning, I sit on the side of my bed and say, God, if I don't get anything else done today, I want to know you more and love you better. God didn't put me on earth just to fulfill a to-do list. He's more interested in what I am than what I do. That's why we're called human beings, not human doings. It says, in happy moments, praise God. Difficult moments, seek God. Quiet moments, worship God. Painful moments, trust God. Every moment, thank God. So what race are we running, and what leg of this race are we in? These are hard times for many. Many here in this room. Health issues, financial issues, job losses, portfolios being depleted, relational issues, hard things. But God is with us in them and has purposes in the midst of them. And so we're exhorted in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, to run with perseverance the race marked out for you. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Don't give up. Don't go sit on the sidelines. Run with perseverance the race, keeping our eyes fixed on him. We know where we're going. We know who our goal is. He's worth it. So run with perseverance. The other day I sat at the bedside of a neighbor, my friend Mary Beth. Last fall, I told you of her husband, Wes, who suddenly died, and we were there with her in that. And he was her primary caregiver. So since his passing, it's been a real struggle for her. And she's had relational issues with kids and health issues. She's ended up in the hospital several times, and a couple months ago, she was given 2 weeks to live. It's been a battle. And she keeps saying, you know, I think the Lord's testing me. She says, but I'm going to win. And through it, her faith is getting stronger. It's amazing to see. And she wants to serve him. And she's saying, how can the Lord use me here? And bedridden. But he is. He has purposes in each stage of life. And she's praying. She says, I may not be able to get out and do things, but I can pray. And she can get to know him better. And she's spending time in the scriptures like she never has before. And she says, I wish I'd gotten all this earlier. But now, it's wonderful. She's growing closer to him and her faith is getting stronger. And he says, run with perseverance the race marked out for you. But we don't do it on our own. He says, he gives us the strength. It's his strength, his enabling, his empowering. We're not on our own in the race. Praise God. And that's why he gets the glory. It's his race. It's his spirit that accomplishes his purposes. And he is glorified. What a race we're called to. And at the beginning of 2009, what a great time to look at this and reflect on our lives and think, what is life about? What is my life about? Am I going where I want to go? Is it about the things I want it to be? So we're in an adventure of discovery with the living God. It'll be exciting. And we see that as we fix our eyes on Jesus and persevere in the race that he's marked out for each of us individually in here, our life has meaning, eternal significance. We have joy and experience fulfillment in who he created us to be. He is delighted and honored and glorified. And we will reap the blessings in eternity, for eternity. What a race we've been called to. What a privilege to know him and walk with him and run with him. And it's his heart that we know him better and better and better. He will be faithful. And we praise him. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we start this new year, we thank you that we have this study to reflect on what life is about, where we're headed, what you have for each of us, individually, personally, prepared from the beginning, when you created us. Lord, thank you that it's your heart that we know and that we follow you. Walk closely in it. Thank you that you are the faithful one to us, that you hold us, you carry us when we feel we can't run, that you strengthen us when we are weak, when we have no strength left. You infuse us with your spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are the faithful one to accomplish your purposes as we say yes to you. Lord, we pray that our lives would fulfill the purposes for which you've intended and that you would be glorified and your kingdom would be furthered. Lord, we delight in you and we love you. And we give you thanks for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Next week, do chapter 1. We can go to small groups. Okay.